Hello and welcome to PharmaLex Talks podcast. Today I'm speaking with Alexandra Klein about avoiding common problems that occur in early stage product development, from your interactions with the regulators to your ability to manufacture your product. Alexandra is a director, development consultant, and scientific affairs at PharmaLex, where she draws on her experience with leading product development teams and functions accountable for product development across all phases to help clients of all sizes better manage their development processes. Welcome, Alex, and thank you so much for taking the time to share your knowledge of the journey companies face, particularly early stage companies, along the path to product development.
Hello, Elizabeth. Thank you for the introduction. I welcome the opportunity to provide some advice based on my own experience in industry.
Great. So, Alex, let's begin by exploring some of those early traps that smaller, often innovator companies fall into when developing their product.
Yeah, sure. Probably one of the most obvious is not thinking about your investigational product in a holistic manner. What I mean by that is early phase companies tend to be heavily focused on science and technology and typically aren't thinking about approval and then subsequent commercialization. Honestly, that's a huge mistake, both from a technical and regulatory perspective. In order for a company to set itself up for success, they really need to be thinking of these objectives early on. There's nothing that scares investors more than a product without a clear path to market. So if you're asking, you know, for $10 million to support your R&D efforts, investors want to know how they'll get a return on that investment.
Alex, is there a particular reason why these small companies are resistant to forward planning?
Yeah, you know, Elizabeth, I think it's often because you're dealing with scientists and technical experts, and it's just not their comfort zone. Also, if they're a small company, they don't have a regulatory, a business development, or a marketing department to represent this perspective, right? I mean, this is really where small companies tend to need that external expertise, even to just begin thinking about concepts such as regulatory strategy and manufacturability, as well as potential ways to de-risk or accelerate their work. So when they're ready and they begin their clinical studies, they start out on the right path. They really need that support and guidance to empower that informed decision making.
Can we perhaps delve into some of those key issues to think about right now?
Yeah, absolutely. One is obviously the regulatory pathway and what is expected. Are there certain things you need to do to succeed? Or on the flip side, are there certain things that you don't need to do that can reduce the workload and potentially accelerate your timeline? For example, you need to consider your initial interactions with the regulatory agencies. Think about the package that you're going to put in front of them when you begin discussions about your clinical strategy. You may be very early on in your development, but you need to start thinking about what that package would look like. You'll need to have animal proof of concept, toxicology studies, and some idea of your clinical development plan. This is where sitting down with a consultant to determine the right study designs, the data you'll need, and other steps to build the package are really critical.
Thank you, Alex. You spoke earlier about the regulatory pathway. What are some considerations for selecting the right pathway?
Sure. In some instances, you know, such as life-threatening diseases, for example, the regulatory agency will actually provide help in the form of advice on designing your development plan, or at least give you good tips on how to go about that if your data really stands out. Now, some small innovator companies aren't even aware of this option, and some are almost afraid to speak to the regulators too early because they're worried the agency will focus on gaps in the company's plans or approach. But really, that perspective is wrong. The agency is there to help you. They're not there to criticize you. One example of such an early meeting you can have with the FDA, Center for Biologics Evaluation Research, also known as CBER, before submitting your investigational new drug application is an INTERACT meeting, which stands for Initial Targeted Engagement for Regulatory Advice on CBER Products. This is a very early, non-binding meeting where the FDA will review your development plan and provide you useful advice. This and later stage meetings, such as pre-IND meetings, can provide you with a route to fast track or breakthrough therapy designation, which can be extremely important for innovator companies, not just to attract investors, but to minimize the timeline for approval.
Beyond the regulatory pathway, are there other early pitfalls that companies can fall into if they aren't really preparing early?
Yeah, definitely. Another example is manufacturability and establishment of an overall supply chain, which is a common issue. Because without it, you don't have a path to a commercial product, right? So the agency is focused really on safety and efficacy and wants to see that you're testing your product to address these. But they're not looking at it from a commercial perspective. You need to keep this perspective in the forefront. It should really drive your strategy because it's the one thing to be successful. It's one thing to be successful in phase one. Do you know how you'll get your product through large-scale manufacturing when you're ready to commercialize? While these are issues that need to be solved with more investment and further studies, at least have a pathway and a strategy and identify those risks. For example, we're working with one manufacturer that decided to stop their development plan for a vaccine because they can't manufacture their product in large scale due to, you know, technical challenges that they did not foresee with their small scale manufacturing. So they could manufacture for the phase one studies because they can produce at that small scale. But unless they make a fairly large investment to resolve those technical challenges, they're not prepared to manufacture for commercial production.
Alex, why aren't these considerations really top of mind for smaller companies?
Yeah, great question. I think this really depends on the background of the company founders. If a company has been started by academics who have never been in industry nor been involved in proper product development, it just comes down to not knowing what needs to be done. They have a great idea. They've convinced someone to fund them for a couple of years, right? They're great at the benchwork. They don't have the experience to think of this as a product. The other type, really, that we encounter are people who come from industry where they had a very distinct, narrow role in product development. And then they decided to go off on their own after getting some funding. However, suddenly they don't have the whole mothership behind them that used to handle all the other important aspects like regulatory, quality, manufacturing. There's also usually quite a bit of investor pressure that pushes these companies to move fast and generate results, not necessarily supporting a robust strategy towards support of that commercial product. You don't want to argue with your investors, but at least you want to be able to explain why certain things need to be done or thought about, rather than just thinking of the short-term immediate next step. We're really looking for organizations to think long-term.
Okay. Earlier, you mentioned informed decision-making. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, sure. It really needs to start with your target product profile, also known as the TPP. You inform your decisions based on this TPP, not based on the shiny new technology or indication. Because your TPP is aimed at being your future label. Again, having that long-term thinking in the forefront. Ask yourself, is the decision that I'm making supporting the TPP? Or has something drastically changed that warrants revising the TPP? That decision can be to go in a certain direction in your animal studies or in your overall product development. Of course, your decision should be based on good science. But you also want to get some expert advice from someone with regulatory experience before you make that decision. Think of this process as a positive feedback loop where you gather information, that information is feeding your decisions, and then you move to the next steps and gather more information.
Let's chat about some key considerations for implementing an informed decision-making approach to your development program.
It really starts with thinking about who should be in the room when the decision is being made or discussed. Small companies generally lack a regulatory or quality department, but they need some key subject matter experts in the room to provide that feedback. That's what large companies are doing. They'll solicit feedback from a number of functions before making the decision to move in a certain direction. And that would be regulatory, that would be marketing, that would be clinical, and so on, depending on the stage they're in. And again, a lot of it revolves around that TPP.
Alex, are there other issues that can hold small companies back with decision-making?
Yeah, absolutely. A large pharma company has certain resources at their disposal, not just people, but also hardware, facilities, contractors. When you're starting out, oftentimes we see people struggling with identifying the right resources to do certain key activities. And very often, they shortchange themselves by choosing who's available versus really who's right for the job. You should get advice on who's the right partner for you and start mapping out what I call your environment or really your universe. Start building those relationships that will eventually help you in the next stage of development. While your organization might be a long way from needing a CRO or commercial contract manufacturer, at least start understanding what's out there and who the likely partners are for you. Do you want someone who has hands-on experience with your product versus just a generic partner? Start mapping this as part of your strategy. It doesn't involve a major effort, but it can really save you some pain down the road.
That's really good advice. Thank you, Alex. It's really about thinking about the process to make it more seamless in future. With that in mind, what does good look like to you?
Yeah, good question. While you still focus on the science and the technology, at least have some idea about your path forward. Understand the pitfalls. Develop alternate strategies and options. Start by putting together your product development plan at a very high level. It can be a few slides, but at least put the product development plan down, including the TPP. And then work with experts as much as you can internally, as much as you need externally to move that forward while you do whatever you're good at, which for small companies is typically the science. The goal is to take your amazing science and integrate it with a product development plan, including regulatory, quality, manufacturing, clinical, and so on. Really about being proactive in setting out your roadmap and strategy moving forward. That high-level integrated product development plan serves as your guide or your compass moving forward. Later, you can develop a roadmap, but have that compass, which is your TPP, because it points to the true north. And while that TPP can change, it does so with you rather than by sending you on a different path.
Thank you for joining me today, Alex, and for sharing your experience with common pitfalls in the product development journey. Thank you also to our listeners. I hope you take some valuable information from this episode and apply it in one way or another to your business. Make sure you subscribe so that you can join us for future podcasts.